B-Pod Studios.
Casper and Murray have scorching hot takes, twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bays. They'll also talk socks and out-of-town things. Just call them up on this Saturday. Casper
and Murray.
Casper
and Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Casper
and Murray.
Casper
and Murray.
Casper
and Murray.
Alrighty. From the Town Fair Tire Studio, Casper and Murray. You're on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Chris Casper off today, so just yours truly, Big Jim Murray here, along with Brian Robb of Mass Live, producing, chiming in between now and 2 o'clock. B-Rob, of course, covering the Celtics for Mass Live, so we'll be hearing a lot from him today. Just quickly, because you texted me yesterday, B-Rob, did you get your flights all scheduled? Are you for Miami? Are you leaving pre-2 or post-2? You here the whole day?
I'm here. Traffic permitting, I'll be here the whole way.
All right, excellent. Well, no need to wait for the Celtics show in an hour to dump all over the Celtics after yet another collapse as they lose Game 2 of the Eastern Conference Finals last night to the Miami Heat, 111-105. Obviously a lot to pick through from last night's game. I'll just start by saying something about them as a group. I said this on Felger and Maz during the second round against Philadelphia, a series that surely should not have gone 7 games. Last night proves, to me at least, yet again, they are a deeply unserious team. Like Logan Roy told those three idiot kids of his before the writers of Succession killed him off. Sorry, spoiler. They are not serious people. Soft, childish, weak-willed, and frankly, to me, outside of a few players that show professionalism, Al Horford, Derek White, Rob Williams, I find them increasingly unlikable. That's your Boston Celtics. And I suppose I shouldn't be this surprised at this point, but it does still continue to blow my mind when I'm sitting there watching a game like last night, just to see how easy it is to knock these guys off their game. They cannot maintain the necessary focus and intensity long enough to win close, huge games against skilled, motivated opposition like Jimmy Butler and the Miami Heat. They can't do it. They make a run, they let up, and then they're looking at each other all stupefied when the other team actually comes back harder at them. If Chris was here, and he said this time and again on this show or in his appearance on Felger Maz, he's written about it, they get out to these big leads, they get punched in the face, and they're like, well, no, you were supposed to quit. We're up. We're the Celtics. But they're so talented. Oh, the talent. At this point, I don't know. I don't want to hear that anymore. It's crazy to me that they're still favored, DraftKings, Vegas, whoever, whatever sports book, in the series after watching these first two games. The talent! But it's the talent! In addition to talent, and you all know this, after the 20 years of dominance with all the teams in this city, what you've watched, especially with the Patriots, in addition to talent, a championship team needs to have a certain amount of maturity, mental toughness, leadership, and at least when it pertains to the Celtics, basketball IQ. I mean, you saw that in 08 with this team. And guys like, you know, real leaders that you saw with Kevin Garnett, you ever going to doubt that guy's basketball IQ? And for whatever reason, and no one can really put their finger on it, collectively, these Celtics, they don't have any of those traits. Maybe some of the players do. Again, some of the aforementioned guys I actually like on this team. Al Horford, Derek White. Nice job sitting him late, too, especially when he was doing a fantastic job defensively one-on-one in Jimmy Butler in that first half of that game. They don't have any of that. And so, on top of that, when you add, that's just the players. And on top of all that, when you add a stubborn, inexperienced, petulant head coach into that mix, the situation's 10 times worse. So, look, there's a ton of blame to go around, and we will get into divvying up the blame pie over the next 3 hours or so. But as a group, I just look at this. These first two games, they're not champions. They're just not. They're gutless. I think it's more apparent by the game. And if I had to just have one thing that pissed me off the most about last night and that meltdown, it's the one thing I can't shake. It was mentioned briefly in Gary Washburn's write-up on this game in the Globe today. It's not the actions of Grant Williams mouthing off to Jimmy Butler. A turning point, yep, without question. But at least someone stood up to Jimmy Butler. It's how none of his teammates got his back. None of them. Grant Williams is an ass clown, but he was at least the only guy on the team who was willing to do anything, anything to try to get in the head of Jimmy Butler. And I get that that's very difficult. The guy's a killer. He's a blast to watch. He really is. But that no one got his back. And after the game, Jaylen Brown says, next question, when asked about Grant Williams and him going at Jimmy Butler, next question? That's brutal. And for what? Like, is he Tatum? Are you more interested in trying to be Butler's friend? Do you want it that bad? Do you want to be buddy-buddy with the guy? You need to work out with him in the offseason like you occasionally do, Jaylen Brown? You hung Grant Williams out to dry. That's, again, he poked the bear, whatever cliche you want to. Probably the wrong guy to do it, but at least someone tried to do it. Grant Williams is a clown, but at least Grant Williams is like, enough, I've had it. If no one else is going to do it, I'm going to stand up to Jimmy Butler. I'm going to get in his face. I'm going to add some chippiness and edge to this team that we so desperately need. And instead of anyone getting his back, Jaylen Brown says, next question. They want to avoid this. They want to hang Grant Williams out to dry. Losers. Selfish individuals. Children. You children. At least rally around the guy. Say something of like, look, it might have been, maybe that woke Jimmy up, but at least someone stood up to him. We need an edge. Next question. Oh, man. That's like why I find them unlikable outside of a handful of guys. And look, and I know that it's been annoying for a lot of Celtics fans over this past week, all the gushing about Jimmy Butler. But if you like sports, how do you not at least appreciate what Jimmy Butler is? Again, the talent has a ceiling, but he doesn't shrink from the biggest moments. The guy is clutch. The guy's a killer. And so, you know, like the guy you had to be afraid of. We lived this just last year. Like, Butler's not going to go away. They just keep coming and coming and coming. He doesn't talk in cliches. I don't think he has a big head. He knows what he is. He's comfortable in his own skin. He gets the job done on the floor. He carries that team. And outside of Bam Adebayo, it's Butler's leadership. That's real leadership. You watch a guy like that, that's what's raising this team to the level of what you're watching. That's why the Heat are up 2-0. I mean, obviously the Celtics are complicit too, but that guy's a real leader. I find him so likable. That's what I want to watch as a sports fan. That guy, again, kind of limited talent, but a killer. I love a killer. That's why I loved Brady so much. We don't have the strongest arm. We knew that. But that, watching that guy, don't give him an opening. He's going to take advantage of it. He's going to get you. And so, look, we all would like to see the Celtics turn this thing around, win this series, but, and I know, it's only 0-2. Mentioned this yesterday, and it's why I looked at yesterday as a must-win. In the Celtics' last 11 playoff series, going back to 2019, they've lost Game 2 of a series 4 times, including being swept in Games 1 and 2 twice. They're 0-4 in those series. So, like, the only one that series that they've won in this era, this group, going back to since Marcus Smart was drafted on this team, but they come back after they lost a game two, was in 17 against the Bulls. And that's where I originally got the asterisk. the annoying asterisk that has pissed so many people off. You can't put an asterisk on that. Yeah, you can, because Rajon Rondo tore up his thumb and then was out of that series, and he was owning that ass, and then the Celtics came back. So that was kind of fake. I feel like this is over. I hope I'm wrong. But that last night and how these games keep devolving into the way that they do, I don't know how you can feel any kind of confidence other than just crossing your fingers, praying to the sports gods, and just hoping for the best. This now feels to me like Heat in five. If they got swept, I wouldn't be shocked. Because the Heat, unlike the Celtics, they can win at home. If we're here, you know, whatever it is, Wednesday is when's game four? Tuesday night, B-Rub? If we're doing the show, Felger and Mavs, 2 o'clock Wednesday, we're talking about a sweep, I'm not going to be shocked. I wouldn't be surprised if they packed it in because of the gutlessness, the inherent gutlessness that you see on this team. That thing with Grant Williams last night. Again, it's not the actions of Grant Williams that pissed me off so much. He's low-hanging fruit. It's how nobody got his back. Oh, my God, that's such a horrible, horrible look. So, again, we'll be spending most of the day on this. We're not waiting an hour to talk Celtics on the Celtics show. This is what people are hot on, rightfully so. The phone number, as always, is 617-779-0985. Some takeaways from you, B-Rob, right off the top, because you're there, you're covering the team. Were you as surprised as I was that nobody got Grant Williams back in that post-game press conference?
Yeah, like the way you, it didn't occur to me as much in the moment, but the way you phrased it now, you're right. It's like, what are we doing? And I actually went back and watched the sequence on the floor as it happened after the game again. And the body language was just not good around
collectively
as a team. Everyone was like kind of shrugging shoulders. They almost seemed annoyed by this was going on as opposed to being like, hey, this is our guy. We have to like back up. And Grant was getting into it the whole game. There was some stuff in the first half too, where he was getting chippy with Bam Adebayo. You know, I think he stepped over him and then got shoved by Lowry at one point. And again, like you said, I'm with you. I think the fire was there from him. The rest of this team, it hasn't been enough to this point, and that it came to fruition at the end of that game.
And just talk to me about some coaching decisions too. I mentioned, I thought it was apparent, Derek White, I thought one-on-one was doing a hell of a job on Jimmy Butler, really frustrating him, and was on him like glue, especially in that first half. And of course, you know, God forbid he's on the floor in the final 5 or 6 minutes. And Mazzulla deciding to sit, you know, Rob Williams, late in that game, and putting in Al Horford, who I think, look, and again, I like Al. I do. I think he's actually one of the guys that shows professionalism on this team. He's also showing his age. So some of the questionable coaching decisions from last night.
Yeah, I thought it was painfully apparent from the game. Like, the Celtics put that 21-2 run together with Al Horford on the bench, with Marcus Smart on the bench, and even with Jaylen Brown on the bench. And you're not going to – Jaylen Brown's a whole different category. That's an All-NBA guy. You're not going to bench him there. But for crunch time of that game, for them not to keep two, I think, of their – easily their best five players on night, and Derek White and Rob Williams on the floor when Al Horford was giving you nothing, and Marcus Smart was having a rough game as well, I think, overall – I thought that was monumental because that was a situation where you can't go based on past precedents at this point, Jim. Like, you just have to win the game. You have to adapt. You have to figure out who has it going. You has all this depth.
Right.
You have options here, so you're not pigeonholed into a corner. And it didn't matter. Joe went back like, okay, we have after the game, he's like, I had to play out because he finishes games. No, that's not a good answer in that situation. And I think that's a big part of why they're down 0-2 this morning.
Yeah, without question. And I also, like Grant Williams, I find it easy to scapegoat the coach, but man, when he
it's just not helping.
Yeah, when he is as stubborn as he is, and like you say, you're like, well, no, Al finishes games. Well, like you said, it's just sometimes you need to adapt, dude. But he's so rigid and so stuck in the way that he's running this team right now that, again, that part of me doesn't want to blame him, but you have to blame him too. He's a big part of why they're down 0-2. So we'll be heavy on this today, and rightfully so, is the Celtics. The talented Celtics, they're so talented, so much talent. They should ease their way to the finals. And it doesn't matter if it's the Lakers or Denver. No, they're going to win this. This is their time. They're on the brink. They're down 0-2 to the Miami Heat. The Miami Heat, that's Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, who's not looking like, well, he has in this series, but not looking like bubble Adebayo. Like a kind of washed Kyle Lowry, a definitely washed Kevin Love, this collection of just guys, and you're down 0-2. So bad. It's so bad. But for me, again, the number one thing that pissed me off about last night, and it's not the actions of Grant Williams. It's how collectively the rest of his team looked at him and said, no, we don't support that. We can't have that. Next question. Next question, you children. 617-779-0985. Your thoughts on the game. We'll continue to pick this thing apart, and a lot of blame to go around. We'll go deeper on Jaylen Brown and his night. And where's he really been in this series so far? That'll be coming up on a Gasperless Gasper Murray next.
You're listening to Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Required terms apply.
This is Chris Gasper.
I'm not the one who's red-faced and ranting, so who's the baby?
This is Big Jim Murray.
Takes in your face, sports.
And this is Gasper and Murray.
On Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Did Grant Williams make a mistake poking the bear with Jimmy Butler?
Next question.
Jaylen Brown after the game, I think that's the worst look to me. It wasn't the actions of Grant Williams. Again, wrong guy to do it, but at least someone tried to stand up to Jimmy Butler. Someone, anyone wanted to show some balls against the guy. At least someone. Again, Grant Williams, wrong guy. He's a clown. But, again, like to, not to go too Colin Cowherd on you, but like Slim Charles said on the in The Wire, I believe it was season 3, if it's a lie, we fight on that lie. You know, you got to back your guy. Are you teammates or not? Jaylen Brown says after the game, next question. Did Grant Williams make a mistake poking the bear with Jimmy Butler? Next question. Oh, that's good. That's good. And Jaylen Brown, what were you in this game? You missed 16 shots. You were, what, a minus 24? You've sucked in this series? Really haven't been all that, truly that great since the Hawks series in round one? That, to me, is, that's gross. That no one got their teammates back after the game. Even if you don't believe it, even if it's a lie, you fight on that lie. You show some level of, you know, being a teammate, a decent enough teammate, and say, like, look, you know, he got hot. It probably woke Jimmy up, but, you know, we needed to stand up to that guy. That's all. That's all. So it didn't work. It woke Butler up. The Celtics proved to not be closers yet again. Butler, the Mariano Rivera of the NBA in crunch time. Don't cross sports. Tough, I'm doing it. Again, some of the numbers. In 6 of the Celtics' last 13 playoff games, the score was within 5 points with 2 minutes remaining. And it feels like they're completely underwater, drowning. Celtics had the lead in 4 of the 6 of those games. And their record in those games? 1-5. They're so talented. I'm done hearing about the talent. Let's hear about their heart or lack thereof. In those games I mentioned, 0-2 against the Hawks, 1-2 against the Sixers, and 0-1 against the Heat. And really, I know, you know, numerically it doesn't match, but it should be really 0-2 because that first game was close too. They can't close. They cannot close. And it's not about talent. That's about heart and not backing Grant Williams. So your thoughts, I think Jaylen Brown, like, again, a lot of blame to go around. But it's not just the coach, guys. It's the players that probably deserve the most blame. Your thoughts on last night's loss as the Celtics now down 0-2 to the Miami Heat. 617-779-0985. Again, a Gasperless Gasper and Murray here on 98.5 of Sports Hub this morning until 2 o'clock. RJ on the Cape. I think you're going to be first up here. Hello, RJ.
Hey, guys. How's it going? I couldn't agree anymore with what you said about Jaylen Brown and Grant Williams. I mean, talk about an opportunity to have your teammates back and bring you guys together after a horrible showing. I mean, just goes to show you that this team just, you know. And I actually still think they got a little bit of a shot. But talk about being able to bring the guys together and just, you know, Grant came in and played tough. You know, he got in his face, whatever. You know, I got to be better. Instead, next question. They stink.
Thanks, RJ. Yeah, look, again, I'm not going to dump on you. You want to hold out hope. They could still happen. Crazy comebacks have happened before. Yeah, sure. But, you know, who's the guy on this team that's going to say, don't let us get hot? A la the idiots in 04 with the Red Sox. Like, it just, they don't come off that way. And that they lost that game last night, too. Just looking at the Heat, especially early. Again, but I thought that Derek White was doing a hell of a job on Jimmy Butler, frustrating him there. And the Heat didn't look to me, B-Rob, as a team that was as confident shooting the ball as they did in game one. They were hesitant at times. I thought Butler was hesitant at times, again, when White was on him. Too many times they rushed their shot with, you know, about 5-6 seconds left on the shot clock. Like, the Celtics were doing good things early, and then it all fell apart.
They were. They had that, again, the 21-2 run, which has been, and then they got that lead back up to 12. And Lowry scored 0 points in this game. Jimmy Butler did not have a great shooting game for most of the night. Bam Adebayo was filling up the stat sheet, but again, wasn't doing anything too dominant there. But the Celtics withered. The turnovers popped up. They gave the Heat free points. They made dumb fouls that got the Heat to the free throw line time and time again in the fourth quarter. They just did nothing right along the margins and gave this game to the Heat on a silver platter.
Raul in Haverhill next here on Gasparilla this morning. Hello, Raul.
So I wanted to discuss two things. People want to talk about Grant Williams, saying that it's Grant Williams' fault he got Jimmy Butler going. No, what got it going was after that incident, the team stopped forcing him to his left side. All game, they did a great job of preventing him from getting to his spots. And then in the second half, after that incident, they just allowed him to do it. And the second thing that I find most alarming is that I don't know what's going on with the C's, but outside of Jason Tatum and Derek White, it doesn't seem like they evolved in the offseason. Everybody's playing exactly the same, and the zone is still killing us 4 years later. Thank you.
Thanks, Raul. Talk to me about the zone and why they're so confounded by it, B-Rob. It's like they've never seen it before. It's mind-blowing.
Well, what they were pretty much doing in the fourth quarter of this game, Jim, I feel like, was it was a zone, but it was really like a box and one on Tatum, or even a box and two on Tatum. Tatum saw two or three guys every time he came past the three-point line. And the problem was all the guys on the floor around him were having terrible shooting nights or just had no confidence offensively. Al Horford, 1 of 5. Jaylen Brown, 7 of 23. So when you put that wrong combination of guys around Jason Tatum, that's when things fall apart. That's when you get the charges. That's when you get the bad passes, turnovers, and they lost their heads on that end of the floor. And I think that's a situation where you put some of it on the players there, but you also have to see, like, this isn't working. Let's try to mix it up. But it's confounding. The zone defense has puzzled them for years against the Heat, and for them to make no progress on it like 3 years later here is rough.
Shook by zone defense, 15 turnovers, ISO basketball, very little ball movement late, out-rebounded 45-35. I mean, it's not, again, think what you want, feel how you want. The Grant Williams thing is going to be, I think it's going to get obnoxious between now and, you know, this game tipping off, game three, tomorrow evening, because it's like it's low-hanging fruit, and I get it. Grant Williams is a clown. You woke up Butler. That's why they lost. Yeah, it was a bit of a turning point, but there's a lot of blame to go around, and I just think that everything you need to know about them, and I just want to keep hammering this, about their mentality, their collective mentality, and their inherent selfishness is that no one got his back after the game. That is such a terrible look. At least someone tried to stand up to Jimmy Butler. Nick and Chelsea, you're next. Hello, Nick. Hello, Nick.
Hey, guys. What's up? Hey. Yeah, so just wanted to say, people that are trying to scapegoat Grant Williams here, he's the only one showing heart. Jimmy Butler's going to step up regardless, and Tatum and Brown have been cowards this playoffs. That's all I got to say. Thanks.
Thanks, Nick. Again, I don't think, you know, the talent. Talented teams don't go under 500 at home in the playoffs. That just shouldn't happen. And when you listen, I found this kind of telling in this, you know, after game one, when you listen to Barkley and Shaq and Kenny Smith about this team and how they're like, can you imagine like losing a home playoff game in our day? And they just like, they're like trying to hold themselves from cackling because it just wouldn't happen. Like, they're telling the truth. And these guys deep down, I'd love to like hit them with some sodium pentothal and get like the real truth about what, like, you know, the old heads feel about this Celtics team. Because I would be willing to bet that it's what Jimmy Butler feels like about this team. And I've said this about him looking at the Celtics for years. He looks at them and says, bitches. Like, that's, and they kind of are under 500 at home in the playoffs, B-Rob. Like, that just should not happen.
You know what this team kind of reminds me of, Jim, right now? Going back to the big three era with KG. Remember the 2010 Orlando Magic?
Yes.
The Celtics, they were the 4 of the 5 seed that year. And they beat the Cavs, and then the conference finals, they went down to Orlando and won 2 games down there against a team that I think most people consider to be a fraud team with, you know, the Vince Carter.
Of course.
The Celtics are, unfortunately right now, playing that role of the Magic. They are a team where they, talent-wise, everyone thought the Magic would beat the Celtics in that series. There was their best team in the regular season, ready to take care of them, and the Celtics are wilting to the Heat squad that is playing the role of the Celtics in 2010 right now. And so I think this Celtics squad is better than that Magic squad, but if this series goes the way that series went back in 2010, that could be where this team kind of falls in history.
Celtics down 0-2 to the Miami Heat. Their superstar, oh, he's arrived! 51 in Game 7 of the closeout game against the 76ers. That, to me, had more to do with the 76ers than it did Tatum and the Celtics, and I think that has now proven to be true through these first couple of games. He turns into a puddle late in these games. So far in this series, we'll touch on him along with more of your phone calls as the Celtics again lose to the Miami Heat last night, down 0-2 in this series in the Eastern Conference Finals with Game 3 tomorrow night. 617-779-0985. One open line. You want to join me here? It's a Gasperless Gasper Murray here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You're listening to Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Chris Gasper. Big Jim Murray.
Give me that which I desire.
It's Gasper and Murray on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And Jason Tatum, I don't want to go crazy on him shrinking from the moment and all of that. He had no shots in the fourth quarter and only 13 touches, which is a low for him. But we just got through talking about these same themes on our makeshift set in Boston Garden last June, right?
Yes.
Where Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown turn it over. 10 turnovers last night. 10 for the two of them alone. You can't have this. That part has not changed from last year. So why should we expect the result to be very different? Look, that was a 7-game series last year. If Jimmy Butler's shot goes down, Boston's not even in the finals, and their whole forecast is different. So Jimmy Butler, who, by the way, had 8 more shots in that game than Jason Tatum, who I think was on all of our MVP ballots someplace, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Come on. Jimmy Butler outperformed him.
At ESPN's Michael Wilbon on Jason Tatum before last night's loss. Celtic lose game 2 of the Eastern Conference Final. Miami Heat 111-105 at TD Garden last night. Welcome back to it. Gasperless Gasper and Murray this morning. We're 98.5 of Sports Hub. Chris off today. So Jim Murray along with B-Rob, Brian Robb, Amass Live and you at 617-779-0985. So Jason Tatum in this series. It's not the production or lack thereof late that's got me pissed at him. He's at least getting to the line. And look, they're doubling him. They're blitzing him. Spoelstra's dialing up, you know, defenses against him specifically. I get it. Like, he is the superstar on the team. It's the turnovers. I can't. That's where he deserves the most criticism, does Tatum. Fourth quarter in this series through these 2 games. 0 field goals, but again, getting to the line. So a little bit of the tip of the cap there. I will give credit where it's due. He's at least, you know, he's trying to get to the bucket, getting fouled, getting to the line. 5 turnovers in the fourth quarter in the series, and they're not just someone picking his pocket. You see the one where he dribbled it off his shoe last night? That's their panic turnovers. This is a guy who was a legit MVP candidate. You're all chanting MVP when he's at the line, at the Garden. He's one of the superstars in the league. Part of me kind of wants to use air quotes around that, but it's true. He is. the panic turnovers, that's, again, lack of heart, gutlessness, a ticker problem, whatever you want to call it. That can't happen. They're not, hey, got to credit the defense there. Pick this pocket. It's, I don't know what to do. That's your superstar? That's such a horrid look. What a night of horrid looks for the Celtics last night. So, again, is that, I look at that, B-Rob, and I'm like, I don't know if that could be fixed. Well, if Udoka was here, it wouldn't happen. I don't know. Like, he wilted in the finals against Golden State last year. Turnovers have been a problem. These moments where you need him to be clutch, he's decidedly not. He doesn't know how to dribble. Like, that's a... What is that?
Yeah, it's a... You go back years now, going back to the bubble against this team, it was the same stuff. And so that's the track record. It's three different coaches, the same kind of issues in those crunch time situations popping up. And Tatum has been front and center of it. And if the Heat take things away from him, they have the right to do that. Tatum still has to make the right play. And he's not, to your point, Jim. Like I said, he's dribbling off his foot. He's going, he's running over Jimmy Butler when there's like four guys waiting for him at the hoop. He needs to be smarter because you compare the guys, Jimmy Butler, you see one point last night, you're like, oh, he's panicked right now. Like, yeah. what is he doing with that decision?
It's crazy. It
doesn't happen.
All right, we'll continue to run through your calls. Obviously, a lot of you heated, no pun intended, and rightfully so, after the Celtics fall last night and find themselves down 0-2 as they go to Miami for games 3 and 4. 617-779-0985. Poor Tommy and Lynn. That had to have bummed you out last night, Tommy.
What's up, Murray? Yes, I was bummed last night about the game. What was going on with this team last night? And how come Jason Tatum had a bad fourth quarter, had 0 points again? Jaylen Brown was playing bad. Grant Williams was acting like a fool, going up to Jimmy Butler, going in his face, acting like a tough guy. And look what he did. He woke up a bear, and then Jimmy Butler went to explode. And this team could be in trouble tomorrow night going into down there because it's going to be tough winning down there, Murray. Do you have faith in this team? Because right now it's not looking good, Murray. It's not looking good. No. I'll hang up and listen. Have a great day.
You too, Tommy. Enjoy the rest of the weekend. I'm probably the wrong guy to ask. I am a very pessimistic person. I'm the first to throw in the towel. I think it's over. If this series goes, if it's a 5-game series at this point, Miami in 5, that's the way I think it's going to end up playing out. That being said, coming up, I will have a number for you that you can look at as it pertains to the Heat, and specifically their coach Eric Spoelstra, who was widely looked at as the best coach in the NBA, it'll be a little bit of ray of light for you Celtics fans feeling down about this team right now. But that'll be coming up in just about 8 to 10 minutes. We'll continue to go through your calls, though. Chris in Hingham next here on a Gasperless Gasper and Murray today. Hi, Chris.
Hey, Jim. How are you?
Good.
Really, really tough loss last night. Horrible hole to be down 0-2, I think, for this team, just based on their performance when down, but also just historically. So looking at the offseason, I don't know if we're premature yet or not to begin thinking about it, but we know this team has a lot of talent. That's undeniable, but they lack grit and they lack heart. And we can see that in games that are close at the end of the games. So my question is, in your opinion, do you think we need a big shakeup to solve it? Or do you think it's as simple as bringing in kind of a gritty veteran? I hate to say PJ Tucker, but I'll say it. Somebody that can hold the team accountable. Thanks. I'll listen.
Thanks, Chris. So here's the thing. There's been a lot of talk, and again, low-hanging fruit when it comes to Joe Mazzulla, who I do think, for the most part, has looked in over his head many a time during this postseason run, and he's getting in the way. He definitely deserves some of your criticism. And it wouldn't shock me, considering the firings you've already had of good coaches from good teams, because we're going to shake it up, if he's gone, if they bow out of this thing, like I think they're now going to, in 5 games. Monty Williams is out, Nick Nurse is out, Budenholzer is out, Doc Rivers is out. Like, if Joe Mazzulla is next, I'm not going to be surprised. But it can't just be that. So, yeah, no, I love P.J. Tucker. P.J. Tucker is what I want Marcus Smart to be. You do all the hashtag winning plays. He just doesn't shoot that much. I'll shoot occasionally, but when a ball comes to me, I'm not going to be like, all right, time for me, bombs away. It's my time to shine. That's the one thing I like about P.J. Tucker. He's that dude. He will grab a guy, be like, all right, like, time to wake the F up. But, you know, I would like to get that from someone other than a role player. Can that be somehow, I don't know, instilled into Jason Tatum? Doesn't feel like it. I just don't think he's that kind of guy. He's not wired that way. The bottom line is this. If they bow out of this thing like I now feel like they're going to in five games, and I hope that I'm wrong. I really do. So I would, believe it or not, like to be wrong about the Celtics and how I feel about them. Because, again, I find them deeply unserious. And they continue to prove that game after game, year after year with this group. It can't just be the coach. Something will have to happen to this core. Trading off Marcus Smart. You have the litany of guards already. Hell, when they brought Derek White in last summer, I was like, well, now Marcus Smart's going to be gone. No, still here. Considers himself part of this big three. Maybe, especially with the play of Jaylen Brown in this series, maybe the Celtics say, yeah, do we want to give him that supermax? I think we're good. Something will have to happen in terms of the team and the roster. It can't just be the coach. It can't be. Because the same thing's going to happen over and over and over again. I mentioned that there is, look, as bleak as things look right now for the Boston Celtics, there is a stat I will give you on the Heat, specifically Eric Spoelstra, the best coach in the NBA, that might give you a little bit of glimmer of hope for the Celtics to be able to come back and actually pull off a win in this series against the Heat. I will get to that number next for you, the people. You continue to join me at 617-779-0985.
Chris Gasper, Big Jim Murray.
That's an aberration, which I freely admit.
Gasper and Murray.
I'm drunk, you're gross, let's go.
Returns in a moment on the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Sounds like fact, not opinion to me.
And this is Gasper and Murray.
Butler spins, scores, and the foul. And Grant Williams and Butler go face to face, and they are jawed. Grant Williams is right in the face of Jimmy Butler.
Yes! That's what I'm talking about. All I'm talking about, you a retreat. Go right back at that dude.
I don't know what kind of escalation there was. Jimmy Butler made the shot. He obviously said something.
Yeah.
And Grant Williams just went nose to nose to Jimmy Butler. And listen, Jimmy Butler is as intimidating a dude as there is, but Grant didn't take one step back. Double technicals. It's a lot of frustration for Grant Williams. Sitting on the bench, being a great teammate, watching, cheering, waiting for his number to be called. And tonight, with a game that many people feel the season is on the line, he has really answered the call.
Welcome back. Gasper and Murray, 98.5 of Sports. Chris off today. So it's Jim Murray along with Brian Roth covering the Celtics for Mass Live. He's always here producing the show. And we love him for that. I guess it's extra money in your pocket, but, I mean, that's a real-ass job you got there covering the Celtics. You're out there late. I can't imagine. What time did you get in last night, B-Rub?
It went better on 3.
Jesus. I mean, I'd hate to have anybody else, but, like, do you need it that bad?
I enjoy the show.
Okay, excellent. Well, thank you. And we love having you here. You know, it's not just the picking up the phones and, you know, spinning the ones and twos behind the glass there that we appreciate you for. It's the input as well. But, man, that sleep is precious, don't I know. But I'm glad you're here. We'll be hearing more from B-Rob in the official Celtic show, which tips off in just about 8 minutes. I promised maybe a little bit of glimmer of hope, a silver lining, if you will, because I'm sure many a Celtic fan not feeling real good right now and how they've seen this team lose at home again and again during this postseason. Sub-500 record at home in the postseason. It just shouldn't happen. But a positive note, a little bit, for those of you out there that feel like I do, that this is probably going to be over in 5 games in favor of Miami. So 13 times in Eric Spoelstra's career, the best coach in the NBA, and I believe that he is, 13 times in Eric Spoelstra's career, his teams have taken a 2-0 series lead like they have right now. His record in Game 3, you want to take a stab at it?
Ooh, I'm going to say 300 winning percentage.
6-7. A little, you know, sub-5.
Not great.
Not great. Not great. Now the record in Game 4, 7-6, above 500. But, you know, so, look, even though the Heat have yet to lose in Miami this postseason, Celtics, again, all that talent. It's not out of the realm of possibility that they take game three and put some wind into their sails. Again, I don't really feel that great about it, but again, 13 times in Eric Spoelstra's career, his teams have taken a 2-0 series lead. His record in game three is 6-7. So again, game three tomorrow night. You'll be able to catch it here with Grandy and Max here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Continue to hear from you at 617-779-0985. Again, the Grant Williams thing last night, you know, on the one hand, I like it. I love chippiness in sports. Love to see some real anger. The NBA needs more of that. But the NBA needs more of that, like real beef, shades of like Jordan and Bird back in the day, from real guys. In other words, Tatum and Brown should be the ones doing that to Jimmy Butler, not Grant Williams, who I find is a bit of a clown. And it's obvious that many of his teammates find Grant Williams to be a clown. But as I said before, not to go too Colin Cowherd on you, it's like Slim Charles said in The Wire. If it's a lie, we fight on that lie. You got to back him. You can't say after the game, no comment, no comment. You got to back the guy. You just look like a bad teammate. You look unprofessional when you sit there and say no comment. Just shows you we didn't support that. We didn't believe in that. And what? You don't because you want to be boys with Butler in the offseason and work out with him, Jalen? Oh, you babies. So wrong guy, but I like the action. Someone needs to try to stand up to Jimmy Butler. Let's go to Martin on the Cape. Hello, Martin. Martin, hello. Hi.
Hey, Murray.
Yes, hello.
Hey, man, it's the waiting that's just so brutal. I mean, waiting for these clowns to fully mature, waiting for them to get their act together, waiting for them to play defense. For that matter, waiting on all four pro teams now in this city, waiting for Bill to retire and get lost, waiting for Bloom's guys to pay off. Now we'll wait to see what the new look Bruins will be, and after they lose the series, wait on the Celtics reconstruction. Just wicked brutal. I can't take it. I'm telling you.
Yeah, Martin, it's a childish take, but it's one I believe with all my dark heart inside. I've said it before. I'll say it again. Like the championship days, they're over, and the plug. The reason why the dam is burst is because the plug is gone. Because he went to Tampa a few years back, and I know it makes no sense, and I know it's childish, but I believe it. Like, once he was gone, it's all gone. The teams will be competitive, they'll get close, and then they'll rip your heart out. Like, the bad days are back. And we'll have stuff to talk about, obviously. But do I think that any of these teams are ever going to win again? Not really. Not in my gut, no. Brady gone, winning gone. That's just how I look at it. I know it makes no sense. How does that make sense? Brady doesn't pay for the Celtics. I know. It's just a thing in the air, in the aura. It's funny. Brady goes to Florida. Now the Florida teams start to win. They're winning championships. Just in the water. It's in the air. It's a makes no sense, I know, but it's just it's a thing. Let's go to Chris in Plainville on Jaylen Brown. Hello, Chris.
Hey, Murray.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, good. So, you know, not only did JB, you know, number two himself in this game, but he is a number two on this team and would be in most teams in the NBA, in my opinion. And until he accepts that role and stops driving the paint, shooting these low percentage contested shots on three defenders, I don't think we really have a shot.
Yeah, Jaylen Brown, again, for him to sit up there after the game, not support Grant Williams after the game that he had, too. Again, what was he, a minus 24?
Like, team worst.
Yeah, that team worst. I think he's been wretched in this series. It really hasn't been, you know, what you expect out of Jaylen Brown since the Hawks series. You know, I like his makeup more than I like Tatum's. I think he wants it more. I thought he was clearly the better player between the two in the final last year against the Golden State Warriors. But if you're going to perform like this, if I'm the Celtics brass, and I know that, you know, that big money's now going to be on the table with the Supermax, I don't know. I look at it and say, like, we got to discuss this. We really got to look in depth in this. Am I crazy for thinking that way?
Not at all. This is... It's there for them, but right now Jaylen Brown is being outplayed by Caleb Martin in this series, an undrafted guy who is a bench player in the NBA, and he's getting the floor mopped with him for that. And so if Jaylen Brown wants to prove he's worthy of that huge investment, one of the biggest contracts in NBA history, period, you can't lose that matchup. You can't be a net negative for this team, and that's what he's been the first two games in this series.
Kurt in the car next here on Gaspar Murray. Hi, Kurt.
Hey, how are you, Jim?
Good. What's up?
Hey, I was just calling about two things real quick. First of all, I think back to the days, the glory days of Larry Bird and Kevin McHale, and you think about Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen, and, you know, these days, the Splash Brothers out in Golden State. And I think what we got is the millionaires, essentially. I like to refer to them as the Supermax snowflakes. And really that ties into the main point that I wanted to make, and that is about Kurt Rambis and Kevin McHale. I don't know if you recall, but one of my favorite moments in all of pro basketball history was when McHale decided to take down Rambis with a
clothesline
shiver, right? I mean, and that series changed on a dime from that moment forward. And, you know, for people complaining about what Williams did last night, I mean, I look at that and say, okay. And as you point out, the fact that, you know, nobody on that team was willing to support him, I think that would just be anathema to people like Bird and McHale and Parrish and everybody who played on that team, you know, because it's like, all right, show some gusto, show some balls.
Yeah,
you know? But,
yeah, and Kurt, and thanks for the call. I mean, those days of the NBA are, I mean, that's now 40 years ago, unfortunately, but and those are gone. Like, you can't do that stuff. You'll be, like, banned for life now in today's NBA. But at least, again, right message, wrong guy with Grant Williams. And even if his teammates feel that way, like, you've got to show, like, okay, look, like, we're just trying to throw Jimmy Butler off his game. You know, Grant went a little wild last night, but, hey, we got his back. You know, he woke him up. Didn't work. But at least Grant cared. Like, something along those lines from anyone after the game, please. Instead, it's no comment. Oh, it's so that to me is the worst look of all on a night of bad looks for the team as a whole. It's not just that. And Grant Williams certainly woke Jimmy Butler up. That's for sure. And it blew up in their face. But to me, the worst look for the Celtics as a whole is that after the game, no one had Grant Williams' back. That's all you need to know about their mentality. Headlines here. And guess what? More Celtics talk. Rightfully so. After last night's implosion at home again as the Celtics lose to the Miami Heat. If you're trying to get through again, B-Rob's doing like a million jobs back there. I see you calling in like...
Keep him coming.
Yeah, keep him coming. We'll get to you. 617-779-0985. Headlines here, and then Sports Up Celtics.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.